Welcome, beloved of God, to the most important days of our lives. And no, I am being neither hyperbolic, facetious, or trying to, come up with days of our lives as this is some liturgical parallel of that midday soap opera. Although, this is quite dramatic. Everything we do brings us to this moment. This week contains the fullness of all that we believe. It is in this week that our images of our faith are clarified, allowing us to see God more fully. This week we move past the gentle, sentimental images to a vision which pushes us to the very brink, transforming us and everything else along the way. This week, the donkey we discover is not nestled gently in a pile of hay in the corner of a manger, but carries Jesus into Jerusalem for his countercultural triumphant entry. This week, we do not discover kings bringing gifts and paying homage, but earthly rulers seeking the death of him who challenges their power and authority. This week, we discover that the wood of the Messiah's crib has become the wood of the cross on which is hung the Savior of the world. This week, we discover not the birth of a child, but the birth of a new world order in which death is destroyed once and for all. And all of this begins today in the convergence of two stories. Today is Palm Sunday, a day which calls to mind Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem. We remember all the celebrations we have experienced, gathering on church lawns when the weather permits, waving our palm fronds, shouting Hosanna, and singing All Glory, Laud, and Honor. These images invoke fanfare and joyous festivities, but a second look moves us from these comfortable refrains to discover the revolution just below the surface. See, the first story we hear today is more than just some happy-go-lucky parade into town. In this procession, Jesus makes a bold statement about the powers of this world. He takes things traditionally associated with grand military processions, and he makes a mockery of them. Jesus rides through the adoring crowd, receiving the shouts of praise typically reserved for earthly rulers. But he comes as one who does not lord his authority over others, but leads through acts of humble, loving service. Jesus rejects the pomp, power, wealth, and domination of the ruling powers, and instead comes to stand in solidarity with those who are poor, with the sick, with the marginalized and oppressed. He stoops down and washes his disciples' feet. Jesus comes not as a mighty warrior, but as one who is vulnerable, refusing to rely on violence. Jesus' calculated actions, because make no mistake, there is nothing accidental or coincidental about what Jesus does this day. His calculated actions unmask and challenge the dominant social order under the guise of festivity. My friends, let's talk about a gutsy move. No wonder why the leaders were, as Mark says, stealthily trying to arrest and kill Jesus. Jesus enters the city, leading all those who follow to see a different way of being in the world, a way which unfolds in the second story we tell. As the full name of this day makes clear, today's focus is not Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. This is the Sunday of the Passion. This emphasis reveals to us one of the most important images of Jesus, in fact, probably the most important image of Jesus, and the one we most often wish to skip over, ignore, or trade for something softer. What we witness in the Passion puts everything else in perspective, for everything we do in this week draws us closer to the cross. It is the cross that makes sense of all that Jesus has taught us, and without it, there would be no Easter. Margaret Farley, theologian, ethicist, and member of the Order of the Sisters of Mercy. You can always trust on nuns to give you some good stuff. Margaret Farley says this about what we discover in the Passion of Jesus, and I quote, We come to understand, for example, that our call is not merely to bear our own cross, endure our own crucifixion as Jesus bore his. The cross of Jesus, we believe, signifies the suffering of all human persons, that burden that Jesus himself identified with and took upon himself. Insofar as this is true, Christians are called to stand in solidarity with all those who suffer across time and space. And while the cross signified every form of human suffering, sickness, tragic accident, aging, and diminishment, there are certain kinds of suffering that are central to its meaning. Given the context and nature of the final sufferings of Jesus, there is little doubt that the centrally signified form of suffering is suffering that is the consequence of injustice, the kind of suffering that does not have to be, that cries out for an end not in death, but in change. End quote. Dr. Farley articulates the founding principle of the way we are called to follow. When we look upon Jesus hanging from that tree, we are called to see Jesus lifting up the wounds and scars of humanity. Jesus lifts up the suffering at the hands of injustice, the suffering that comes from our culture's obsession with violence, insistent on greed, companionship with racism, entanglement with white supremacy, with the destruction of this fragile earth, our island home. Jesus lifts up the scars of the vitriol we hold for our neighbors, of those who stand across the political aisle from us. He lifts up the scars of mass shootings in schools, houses of worship, grocery stores, dance clubs, and movie theaters. Scars of hate crimes against the Asian American Pacific Islanders community, against increasing violence towards the LGBTQ+ community. Jesus lifts up the scars of suffering that does not have to be. Just as Jesus' entry into Jerusalem invites us to unmask the realities of the way society defines power and acceptability, his passion invites us to remove the blinders from our own eyes, to see the ways we have caused others to suffer, to see the ways we have benefited from the suffering of others, and to see the ways that our silence allow suffering to continue. As the stories of this day come together, we glimpse who Jesus truly is, the love of God incarnate, and we begin to understand what that actually means. Dr. Farley goes on to write, "The point of the cross is not finally suffering and death. It is rather that a relationship holds. There is a love stronger than death that can withstand whatever the forces of evil do against it, and that can hold suffering even as it struggles to alleviate it." My friends, this week, a relationship holds. We take the beloved images that bring us comfort and joy, and we gaze deeply into them, discovering why it is that love came down at Christmas in the first place, because that phrase is more than just a really lovely hymn we get to see in Christmastide. Moving through these days is not some historical reenactment. We are not pretending that we don't already know the end of the story and what comes later this week. Through these days, we experience something far greater than a well-thought-out role play. We experience the very unification of time, past, present, and future, all coming together in the glorious, eternal, saving acts of God. My friends, I was not joking when I said these are the most important days of our lives. This week, we have the chance to see and experience who Jesus truly is, to glimpse the kingdom of God fully realized in our midst, to receive a foretaste of the eternal life and victory promised to us as heirs of God. This week, we join a 2-millennia-old tradition of pilgrimage, walking the way of Jesus. Ready or not, just as we are, in this particular moment of our lives, we have entered into Holy Week. As we begin this journey, I want to invite you to enter these days as fully as possible. Allow yourselves to be pushed to the brink. Let the drama wash over you. Come and savor the story. Join in daily worship. Immerse yourselves in the greatest gift ever bestowed upon us. Do what the faithful of God have been doing since the very first days of the church. No matter how many times we have made this pilgrimage, there is always more to learn, always another layer of understanding waiting to be revealed. In her poem, Jesus So Lowly, which also is a very lovely choir anthem, Edith Williams captures what it is we are called to learn in these days. May her words inspire us, offering us sustenance we need for what is to come. Her poem is, and I quote, "Jesus, so lowly, child of the earth, christen me holy, bring me new birth. Jesus, so lonely, weary and sad, teach me that only love maketh glad. Jesus, so broken, silent and pale, be this the token, love will not fail. Jesus, victorious, mighty and free, teach me how glorious death is to be." Together, may we discover new birth. May we be made glad by love. May we learn how glorious death is to be. Through this week, may we be pushed into the glorious life of God. Amen.